turn me up a little bit more. That's probably fine. I'll just talk at a normal level.
Instead of the smudge level?
Nah. The smudge level is louder than the normal level.
Oh, well, the smudge level could also be the quiet level.
You never know what level smudge is going to pull up with.
It's crazy how much more time we had for the podcast. Like,
it actually is.
Like last year.
Yeah. It's crazy how this is the first one of the year.
Well, it really isn't, because we did hit the USO.
That's true.
While at Miami. So we did do that.
And it's always 2 or 0 for a month. And then it's 2 on 1 day. And then it's 0 for a whole month.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
Crazy that, like, we originally were supposed to be releasing every week. And then we switched to a tennis podcast. And here we are talking about Viper.
Well, yeah. I think we're just going to fuck around and just talk about a
Viper.
Random topic
yeah.
for once a week for 20 minutes.
Well, I don't even know if we're going to reach it once a week. It'll happen when it happens.
Whatever happened, happened.
Wiser words. Anyway, welcome back, everyone, to the Friday Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Jan Behrens, here with Logan Hubbard. Today, we are planning to talk about Viper, and if you have not heard of Viper before, he's an esteemed rapper on the internet. He's known for such hits as "Yule Cowards Don't Even Smoke Crack" and "My Hops," where he discusses that his haters want him dead because of his two-handed hanger dunk.
Yeah, I mean, what we're really here to do is once and for all to end the GOAT debate. I mean, a lot of people have opinions who the GOAT may be. Some people may say, you know, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Others would say, you know, Thomas Brady or Tupac or potentially even Albert Einstein. But there's one man from Arkansas.
Some people have even said Wayne Gretzky for GOAT.
Yeah, that we're not talking about those people though.
Okay,
they don't deserve it.
They don't deserve it.
All right, because that's double or nothing right there.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But, yeah, there's one man from Arkansas. He currently lives in Houston, but he used to live in Arkansas. So he's got dual residency in
dual citizenship.
Yeah, yeah. A great cultural export of Little Rock.
Well, yeah, he has such albums as Kill Yourself, My Man, and his most famous one, Yule Cowards Don't Even Smoke Crack, where he revealed in an interview that Yule stands for "you will eventually smoke crack."
You will, cowards. That does seem to be consistent with this man's level of emotional and intellectual genius. So I think that's pretty on brand for him. But what's also on brand for him is pretty much anything, because he's released literally thousands of albums, and he says he can create one track per hour, so about an album a day. And
yeah,
at one point he did 347 in a year, so that's a decent work rate.
And if you are talking about other rappers like Drake, who releases one or two records in a year, Kanye, who releases one or two records in his lifetime, and George Coleman,
some people who has do say is in the GOAT debate for some reason,
who has literally never dropped an album before, they can't even come close to the output that Viper has. And you know, even NBA YoungBoy, who drops an album an album about each month, can't even keep up. And let me tell you, no rapper in the game right now has the guts, the balls, to name a track "The Chronicles of Rat"
and then do it again.
Yeah, do it again. Not even a week later. Drop another track. "Chronicles of Rat 2. What's the subtitle there?
Oh, yeah. There is a plot at play here. Viper, he's a creative individual. He's not going to leave us hanging for just for the substance of his beats.
"Chronicles of Rat 2, I Am the Mad Rat."
Yeah, I mean, there is a cinematic universe at play. In fact, multiple per week that we are orbiting in and out of. And
yeah,
that's just one of the many. So He's blessed us with this one 3 hours ago. It has 359 views already. That's way more views than I could ever dream of, especially since he's a trillionaire. So.
Oh, yeah. And I can only assume that he's a trillionaire for two reasons. First of all is his sheer musical genius. He just can come up with amazing songs instantaneously and then do it again an hour later. And then his second reason is that he has patented a moving company.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of... When we're talking about the GOAT debate, obviously, you have your Rapman, you have your George Colemans, you have your Aubrey Grahams, you have your Duckworths out there. But not only...
I don't.
Okay. Well, yeah, you just have James Duckworth. So only one. And we're talking about multiple, so...
Yeah.
Unlikely that you do have multiple, since you just have the Aussie, but... you have those out there, and their genius is pretty much limited to the recording booth. But once Viper breaks out of that booth, he cannot be contained. I mean, my man's extremely versatile. The business acumen he's exhibited over the years, astonishing.
In fact, the only place where I would say that he is bad in is in the recording booth, where he unfortunately raps over his beats that he makes.
Yeah, I mean, this is really probably everyone has to have a fatal flaw. For some people, it's not rapping over your own beats, but for him, it's rapping over his own beats. So,
and for other people, I'm not going to name any names, it's anti-Semitism.
And for other people, it's liking pickleball. Again,
that's true.
That no names.
No names.
Shout out. No name. But yeah, that's definitely one of his ventures, is he does have a business. It's a moving truck business. It has rave reviews. You can go out and look them up. So, I'm
going
to give you some time to look it up.
So your time's up.
Yeah,
your time has expired. I forget what the question was that we were even having you look up.
How much information did you gather? Let us know in the comments. That's going to be how you're graded today. But
it was about the moving company.
Oh yeah, rave reviews on that one, and that's we had some perceived technical difficulties, which is one thing. But Viper had some actual, very very interesting real life difficulties in his moving company. He has to solve real problems with that one.
Well, yeah. Like, imagine you hire a moving company that is going to move your stuff, and two men, shirtless, reeking of alcohol, come to your door, knock on it, say, hello. They probably don't even start with that. It's like, we're here to move your stuff. So, hey, at that point, you'd probably just say, yeah, you just don't come back. So, yeah, that's what I would do probably if I had two shirtless men came to my door reeking of alcohol. I don't know, what would you do, Logster?
I mean, one of the beauties of Viper's moving company is it's really ambiguous whether or not he's actually one of these men who's actually supposed to be moving things. I mean, we do know quite a bit about the man's build. He seems to be 6'2", as he has mentioned previously, unconfirmed.
Actually,
that's actually true.
He did mention that he was 4'33" tall.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what your unit of measurement is, you could come up with some rounding errors there. But so around 6'2" or 4'33", somewhere in that range. And his build over the years has been pretty pudgy. So I do think he could be semi-effective at moving furniture.
You say that, but he's a trillionaire. So he doesn't actually move the furniture. He has the money work for him. He has the money move the furniture.
Okay. Does he prefer to deal with nickels or another form of currency?
I think he likes, like, nickels, maybe even, like, pennies.
Okay, just or the smooth coins.
Perhaps hay pennies.
Oh, okay.
If we're going so far back.
Okay. Well, I guess that settles it. He would show up with, for some reason, two guys, but the coins are actually moving the work here. So, pretty interesting concept. I'd love to see it play out. I know they have those, like, little furniture slider things. Thinking of something like that, but obviously much more interesting because that's pretty boring. Well, sure, he put his own creative twist.
If you have nickels, it's just like that, but it's nickels.
Well, yeah. Given that it's nickels. Yeah. I can see that. So there's definitely some interesting implications with the man's business
exactly,
ventures.
Exactly, exactly. Let's move topics. Let's talk about 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, when do we not?
So, if you go through Viper's, what's it called, his Discog, you'll find a track called I Certainly Did Not Did 9/11. And this leaves some
ambiguity.
Ambiguity, that's the word I was looking for. As to whether he did 9/11 or not, because the certainly did not is in parentheses. So if you read it without the parentheses, it said, I did 9/11. And in this video, it's an audio recording of him at Ground Zero rapping over what I can only presume is the building collapsing.
And not just one building. There are two of them.
There's a few more than that.
Oh. Just the collapse or just buildings? There's only two buildings in the world right now.
There are a couple more than two buildings in the world. There used to be two more than there are now. But then they collapsed. And this is on 9/11 that they collapsed.
Yeah, so if you're kind of unsure of what's going on behind the scenes, you can take a look at the music video. And
oh, yeah. You'll see him. Either, depending on the video that you get, he's either going to be in Helsinki or in or in New York City on the fateful day that the two buildings cease to exist. But on the other hand, he could be in Helsinki ordering some drinks on a boat.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of where the true artistic value and creativity of Viper's spirit really comes into play, because it's kind of a, you know, choose your own adventure. You kind of have to read between the lines between certainly did not and did. It's kind of, what do you want to see? And if you choose the Twin Towers collapsing and you see Viper rapping during this, then that actually looks like he did not do 9/11. But if he's ordering martinis and paying for them and we don't see him, maybe he did. So,
well, he's actually pointing at the martinis as he's ordering them. You
yeah,
can
very,
see that
very,
in the video.
Very important.
So, anyway, this is not the first time that Viper has been known to cause an international tragedy, as he also did the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak in early 2020. He was the one that orchestrated that. So, he's really no stranger to controversy, I'll say that. So it really does beg the question, did he or did he not do 9/11? He claims that he hasn't, but it was also in a sort of backhanded way where you're not really sure if he's being fully honest or not. And you can tell during the song that there's nothing but static going on in that man's brain.
I mean, there's definitely an internal struggle within him on whether he should remain truthful or not as to his whereabouts on that day. But, something that I do think is interesting in regards to viruses is our good friend Rick Ross, who I'm sure is a fan of the Viper community as well. He actually reminded us today to stay inside because of the fungus. So just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of that. It's a pretty dangerous thing going on now. but the fungus, as they say, is a mogus.
So Rick Ross, famous for liking pears, has warned us to stay inside due to the fungus. So, we will be staying inside due to the fungus. PSA, over. PSA restarting. Okay, so, let's talk about Viper. Alright, so, let's go through some of his tracks and just see the things that he's been doing recently. Because recently he's been journeying through Tupac's realm. Have you noticed that at all?
And now we have known whether they've noticed it or not. So we'll see what the results come in to be. But obviously, I'm well aware of him journeying through Tupac's realm, because he actually sends this information to me through
YouTube.
Through the realm itself, interdimensional information, and also his Discord, which is affectionately nicknamed the Autism Kindergarten. So.
Well, yeah, shout out
to a great hangout spot for
us. Shout out to the Viper Discord. Actually, Viper recently was spotted on the Crimean Bridge shortly before its untimely demise. That's a direct quote from the rapper himself. So that begs the question, what was he doing in Ukraine during the... Oh, I guess Crimea is part of Russia now, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on who you're trying to please here.
Oh, yeah.
As this is a pretty high stakes...
What was Viper doing in a contested war zone during this war that is ongoing?
I mean, I think there's only one man who knows the answer to this question, and he is very willing and able to share that answer with you. So I would expect an answer in probably 2 to 4 business days, depending on what other tracks he has on his docket.
But the thing is, the track insinuates that he was the reason for the Crimean Bridge collapse.
So whose side is he really playing here?
Yeah, so whose side is he on? Does the Crimean Bridge collapse favor Russia or Ukraine? We don't know the answer to these questions right now, folks. Probably CNN does, because it's the first I've heard about this Russia-Ukraine conflict in a couple months.
Yeah, that's definitely not a non sequitur. So I think that's all making sense in my brain, too. Yeah, CNN definitely is known for having information at times.
Regarding the news?
Yeah, that's allegedly one of their functions, maybe. But I have not seen Carl Azuz recently to confirm nor deny this claim. And as we all know, he's the only one who could have any pertinent information here. So,
gonna
have to put that one on ice, as they say.
Well, yeah. We'll circle back to that one in a couple years, to do a full secondary look at it, or what's it called, the secondary documents.
Yeah, sure. The secondary documents, and it will be a primary source too, because. It's Viper's going to put it out into the world.
That's what I meant to say.
But yeah, this is making a lot of sense. We're moving through a lot of ground pretty quickly. And
and we're back.
Yeah, so we're just moving through too much ground too quickly, when that sometimes results in the demise of
The podcast,
but luckily we caught it just in time.
Oh yeah,
you know who also moves through ground pretty quickly, and that's actually Viper when he's hooping, and he has been known to hoop quite extensively in his time.
Oh yes, he is actually world famously known for his two-handed hanging dunk. There are people that want him dead. In fact, most people want him dead for this.
And there's only one reason why, and it's obviously because of his hop, but. Not only because of his hops, he does make numerous basketball references throughout his discog, including balling by the mall instead of in the mall, which doesn't compute to me, because I would think the mall might have like a basketball court that he'd be hooping in. But
he is actually balling adjacent to the mall, where there's a basketball court outside. But in his YouTube bio, he says he is the top maller, which I can only assume that he's the top mall shopper. Which would make sense, since he has trillions of dollars to spend at the mall.
Well, yeah, there is another Viper track called I Got to Mall. So,
which is most certainly not I Got to Ball re-uploaded with a different title. Not even a slight chance of this happening.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear what happened through this man's... He's like any other good intellectual thinker. He goes through a cycle of interest, and... At one point, he was very interested in balling, but then as he became a trillionaire, he started wanting to maul instead. So he was like, I want to make a song about mauling, but I only have one about balling. But I can just change the name of it, and it'll work.
Oh, yeah. It's up to the listener's imagination to change the B consonant sound in ball to the M consonant that would be in maul. And everything else is really up to interpretation. It could swing both ways. But swinging back to balling by the mall, it was a bit of a foreshadowing for his own life. As you know, this track is off of the world-famous record Ready and Willing by Viper out in 2006. This was a foreshadow. This is a little bit of time before he became a trillionaire. He released a couple records this year. But he clearly enjoyed to spend time at the mall hooping up. And then once he ran into money, he would go to the mall, purchase some items, then come back out, and then play some basketball. This seems like a pretty normal chain of events.
So this does beg the question about the man himself. Is this like all he does in his life? Is he just stuck in this endless loop of balling and mauling and then balling and mauling again and then going back to ball? I mean, that just seems exhausting. I don't know if I could handle that all myself.
Well, it's clear that at a point in time, he did not go to the mall or ball, and he spent the entire year of 2014 releasing albums.
Yeah, I mean, he is known to kind of chain himself up to
the studio.
To the studio. Yeah, also the radiator, but the studio as well. And just kind of get down to business, so much business, in fact, that he is unable to have any sort of interpersonal relationships with anyone else because he's putting so much content out there into this
exactly,
world.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, that kind of, like, ball and chain lifestyle is bound to make a man depressed, which takes us to the thawed.
Yeah, so this is definitely, I think, where Viper kind of hits his, you know, point of inflection in his life. All this balling, all this mauling.
And all this music releasing.
I mean, how can one man just sustain this over this many years? And it turns out, even Viper cannot do this. So he kind of reached this point where he wanted to compress his internal organs to make small.
Yeah, but, you know, how would one accomplish this task? You may be thinking. It's really hard to make small. So the answer to your question is, what you the audience should do if you want to make small. You want to go to TummyTuck.com and order two of their smallest tummy harnesses. This is where the H in thawed comes into play, because thawed obviously stands for the harness of death.
Except it's the harness of death.
Sorry,
because Viper is a trailblazer in the field of linguistics and has elected to use the more user-friendly term, harness.
Well, yeah, the thawed, which stands for the harness of death, was used. So how he would use this is he would put on these two smallest harnesses and then refuse to take it off or shower for the coming weeks. And he thought he would die on day six. Unfortunately for him at the time, but fortunate for the rest of the universe, this was not actually the case, and he did survive past day six, and he took off the harness of death and tried to repeat this process about five times.
Yeah, I mean, something interesting about the harness of death is it's all chronicled on the man's Twitter. Mm-hmm. So if you want to look up thawed 1, thawed 2, all the way through 5, the information's out there. You can timestamp it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing about the thawed is I think it has to be one of the strangest suicide attempts of all time. And I think he kind of did get ahead of Hollywood in terms of refusing to bathe. I think mm-hmm. another trend-setting moment there. Everyone saw the thawed and the
he leads the
it.
Autistic kindergarten now, which is...
Yeah, I mean, he's basically...
Which is on Discord. Yeah. And Discord people are famous for not bathing, so he's clearly in his element right there.
I mean, which came first, though? Did he inspire?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what didn't he inspire?
It's a good question. I have no idea.
I think we are yet to find something that he did not inspire.
Exactly.
So we'll be on the prowl. We'll let you know if there's any update in the next 10 to 15 minutes on if there's something that exists that Viper did not inspire. But
I would think the wheel, but then again, pretty like Viper looks like a wheel. So it has got to be inspired by him.
Yeah. Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That works too.
Okay.
So, and then in terms of Viper being active in the community, he loves to give back to his fans. Nothing more than that. You love to see an artist who interacts with his own community. And there are some who do a great job of that. Obviously, people who really go all out in their concerts and try
Cardi.
To. Yeah, just like Cardi. He's famous for being great with his fans and always being transparent. Kanye's another one.
Yep.
But I think Viper really does take the crown here. And he's so reachable, in fact, that he actually posts his personal phone number out on the internet and invites anyone to go ahead and give him a call or a text if they want to, you know, talk to the man himself and see how he's doing. And I think Viper kind of overestimated the general morality of his fans and the internet as a whole, because this did get him into a sticky situation or two and potential some legal issues. So let's go ahead and start with the shoe incident.
Well, for those of you who don't know, which I'm assuming is a lot of you, Viper did post his phone number on the internet, as you just learned. And as a result, 4chan got a hold of this. And, you know, at this point, Viper was already world famous for his hit single, "Y'all Cowards Don't Even Smoke Crack," off his hit record, "Y'all Cowards Don't Even Smoke Crack." But 4chan, loving this record, got a hold of his number and also posted a video to YouTube of him dancing in front of someone farting.
Yeah, and from what goes on from there can only be described as a logical nightmare.
The
Viper did not take kindly to this. We'll throw that out there to start.
So it starts off where the video is sent to Viper's phone, and Viper returns by politely asking the the uploader to remove the video from the internet, and that if he didn't, he would have to take some physical action against the uploader. And the uploader responded by politely saying no to Viper on his request to take down have the video taken down. And then a compromise was reached. The uploader said, "Viper, if you send me a video with a shoe on your head, I will I will take down the video." And Viper did oblige, and now there is a picture of him with a shoe on his head.
And yeah, I mean, I think this is just one more primary example of Viper just having that much trust in his own fans and just being willing to go above and beyond to do literally anything they ask of. And there are some other things that, you know, maybe he gets asked to put a shoe on his head, and then he kind of gets the feeling that he can also ask favors of his fans, which kind of also puts him into some interesting scenarios.
Well, yeah, there was some situations where he was texting someone who was pretending to be a minor, not knowing that the person was pretending to be a minor. But we're going to gloss past that because we want to keep Viper's name good. And 17 is legal.
Pops.
Exactly. So we'll just slide right past that saga. If you're curious in that about that one, you can do some more research. But yeah, we really don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, in all seriousness, Viper has some really great production on a lot of his tracks, but his style of rapping is very intrusive, I would say, against the beat, where it's really all you can pay attention to because his voice is the timbre of his voice is so deep, and he talks so slowly, and the vocals are mixed so poorly that you can't do anything but listen to his voice. There are a couple of tracks where this is not too much of an issue, and some of these tracks are, as we mentioned earlier, "Ballin' at the Mall" is one of my favorite Viper tracks. It has a great sample and vocal cut in it. And another great track by Viper is "Choppers," which has a amazing sample flip, and his flow is actually surprisingly average, as well as his voice not being too intrusive.
Yeah, so when we refer to Viper as a rapper, he's not exactly your average rapman. I mean, the guy probably has one of the most rudimentary understandings of what a pocket and a flow is, and I think if he just ceased to rap, he definitely would have much better tracks, but I think he is actually a tremendously talented producer, especially in terms of sample flips, and especially when we're talking about the quantity that he can put out decent beats in, pretty much unrivaled. But Viper's not the only rapman in the game. There are some adversaries out there, and there is one man who has troubled him more than anyone else, and that is Mr. Mafia of JPEG. And, you know,
House JPEG. Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are actually scared of Mr. Mafia. He's kind of been, you know, running around doing stuff for many years and gone unchecked.
Yeah, and
as a good Samaritan.
As a good Samaritan, Viper protecting the populace of America, released the track Pussy Boy, I'll Kill You, which has probably the best flow on any track I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I mean, this is a kill shot to Mr. Mafia. He actually released three additional kill shots, but this is probably the one most worth talking about. I mean, Mr. Mafia even admitted himself on Twitter that Viper had murked him and he cannot respond. There's just no way to come back from it.
But he got destroyed.
Probably the biggest blow was when Viper started rapping about the letter H. I don't think anyone can come back from that.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to put you in the H or the other H.
Or the other H.
Or the other H. It really H. begs the question, what H are you talking about? I could think of maybe one that would apply to the situation.
And that's Houston.
Yeah. Or L'Hopital.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Peggy's probably quaking in his boots right now. Wondering if he's going to get sent over to L'Hopital's rule or not.
Yeah.
But
he might get derived.
He might be derived. There's always that possibility. We might find his limit in the future.
And the denominator.
Well, yeah. Both sides.
Yeah.
Could get dicey. You think Peggy converges or diverges?
I'm going to go with, by the geometric series test, he would converge.
Okay. What is he converging towards?
He is converging towards a value that is not infinity.
Okay, so thanks to Viper's amazing skills behind the mic as an MC and a rapman, we have deduced that Mr. Mafia is actually converging towards a value between negative and positive infinity. So don't think that's ever been done on a diss track, which kind of proves why Pussy Boy, I'll Kill You is just a cut above really anything else.
Yeah, I can't going remember right the now. Last time there was a full mathematical proof in a rap track. Like, that really is something that doesn't come by really very often. And that's what sets Viper apart, is not just his ability to make a beat, but his intellectualism and his ability to somehow formulate a proof. But yeah, that's just sets him apart. He's an intellectual.
And I think what Viper does here is what any good mathematician would do. And I think something that's important to note about this proof is he doesn't just spell it out for you, you know. He makes you really dig into those finer details of his lyricism and his bars to really find out what he's meaning. And it does take a true Viper fan, but also a true student of the game. And by the game, we mean math.
And
to find out
more
what he
specifically
means.
Calculus.
Yeah, so if you're not a big fan of calc, that might fly right over your head.
Yeah, you
just
might need
like
to do some research on infinite series. Yeah, start with limits, and then you can work your way up.
We'll let you do the rest.
Yeah. Get a subscription to your favorite math, and then...
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
There will be no shortage of math subscriptions to choose from.
Yeah.
But I think on that note, we're probably going to end with Viper's greatest contribution to academia right there. I don't think there's anything else that he's done to top that. So
I have one last statement. If you want to listen to Viper and get sort of the gist of what he is and what the music that he puts out, I would listen to some tracks off the record. You'll Cowards Don't Even Smoke Smoke Crack. And if you want to listen to some of his best music, I would listen to either his album Hustlin' Thick or Ready and Willing. He does have some great beats on those two records, although Hustlin' Thick does sound like it was recorded on a toaster, and Ready and Willing has 6-minute tracks that should be about 2 minutes at the most. So,
yeah, something to note about, a little caveat in there, even on Viper's best material, I think it should be about a 90-second track, and then just a little beat tape, so it's like a 10-minute album.
But, yeah.
He does want to get the most out of every single beat he makes, so he does tend to stretch it out, which you can't knock the hustle. But
I would say he has about a song's worth of ideas on an album, but they are great ideas, and they do make for an entertaining couple of seconds when you first hear the loop, but then you hear it for 6 minutes, and then it kind of just fades away, and you're just you say I want to go to the next track, please.
Yeah, so we'll end it with a plea.
Goodbye.